Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to those mothers that are in the room watching online. It's always a difficult time for me. 6 years ago was my first Mother's Day without my mother. And in honor of her this morning, I listened to some of her favorite hymns and sang along with them and just thanked the Lord for my mom. I don't know what it is that you do to honor your mom, but I encourage you to do that somehow today. Today's Mother's Day, and I want to begin with a confession. The fifth commandment is one of the most countercultural things God ever said. We're in a series now, Building Families God's Way. We're looking at the Ten Commandments. And we live in a culture that has made rebellion its default setting. From the moment a child hits adolescence, the media cheers them on to push back, tune out, outgrow their parents as quickly as possible. Authority is mocked, experience is dismissed, and parents are depicted as obstacles to authentic living. And somewhere in the noise, one of the most foundational commands God ever gave has been quietly buried. Today we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20:12 does not have fine print. It does not have an age limit. No asterisks. No clause that reads, unless your parents were imperfect. It just says, honor your father and mother. You could be 80 years old and your parents 100 years old, and this commandment still applies. Today, we're going to look at why this commandment stands and what it forms in us across the stages of our life, and what a godly mother gives, and what God says to parents who want to be worth honoring. But first, a word for those for whom this day is complicated. Some of you are honoring a mother who made your childhood very difficult. Some of you are missing a mother who no longer is around, not here. And some of you are mothers yourselves who are running on empty. Whatever state you're in, this message is for you. Why this commandment stands? Let's ask this question first. Why does it stand on its own? There are three reasons this commandment belongs, not as a nice cultural suggestion, as a load-bearing wall of civilization itself. So there's three things I want you to look at. First reason is this: authority is God's appointment, not a merit award. Let's deal with the elephant in the room immediately. What about your parents who were genuinely unworthy of honor? What about the abusive parent, the absent parent, the parent who broke things in your life that took years to repair? God's not asking you to honor bad behavior. He's asking you to honor a position. Think about it this way. When you walk into a courtroom and say, Your Honor, you're not endorsing that particular judge's character. You may not know anything about him or he or she might have remarkable character and be an incredible person, but you're recognizing the authority of the bench, the institution the position presents. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. God established three foundational authority structures on earth: the home, the church, and the government. And each has a role. And each building block of order brings a flourishing society, and the home is first. So respect for authority begins in the nursery, long before it's tested in the classroom, a workplace, or a courtroom. And God places parents in that authority position, not because they've earned it, but because He has assigned it to them. This is not an easy truth, but it's a liberating one. It means you don't have to wait until your parents are perfect to start honoring them. You honor what God has ordained, and you trust Him to deal with those who have abused in that position. Billy Graham said this, a child who is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. So true. Second reason, you okay this morning? Respect for authority begins at home. A son or daughter, I added that in, who mistreats his or her father or mother is a public disgrace, according to Proverbs 19:26. This is one of the most practical truths in all of Scripture. How you learn to relate to authority at home determines how you will relate to authority for the rest of your life. School, career, marriage, friendship, community, all of it was calibrated at home. The child who grows up saying, "Nobody tells me what to do," will carry that posture wherever they go. The workplace will be hard. Relationships will be hard. And even submitting to God will be hard because the foundational muscle was never built. Researchers have consistently found that children who learn appropriate deference to parental authority develop stronger social skills, higher emotional regulation, and greater resilience. What looks like obedience in a six-year-old is actually character formation for when they're 40. And Proverbs 19:26 names the social cost clearly. A child who publicly shames their parent is a public disgrace. See, it's not just a private family problem, but it's a community concern. Tim Keller said this, it's respect for your parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. The family is the school where that lesson is first taught. And the third reason why we have this command is because how I relate to my parents shapes every relationship. Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother, Proverbs 23:22 said. The home is not merely where you were raised. It's where your relational template was installed. How you handle conflict, how you receive love, how you trust. All of it was shaped in your family of origin. Even now as an adult, when you act in ways you can't fully explain, you are often still reacting to the dynamic of your past. Many marriages carry baggage from unresolved parental relationships. A spouse may say, "You're just like my father." What it means is this, I'm still fighting a battle that began long before I ever met you. The research is clear-cut. The quality of your relationship with your parents is one of the strongest predictors of the quality of your adult relationships. Statistics Canada in 2024, the Canadian Social Survey found that Canadians who report high satisfaction with their family relationships are nearly twice as likely to be hopeful about the future and significantly less likely to struggle with poor mental health. This is not sentiment, it's data. How you relate to your parents reaches forward into every relationship that you have. The fifth commandment is God's investment in your entire relational future. So what does honor form in us? I thought I would look across three stages of life, and you may be in one of them. Honoring your parents is not one thing. It's a practice that shifts from every season of life. A way that a six-year-old honors her mother looks very different than how a 30-year-old honors their mother, which looks different again from how a 50-year-old does. So let's walk through the three stages of this outline. First of all, at childhood, honor builds the capacity to submit. Oh, there's that wonderful word. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. The call to children is simply obey. Do what your parents say, willingly, pleasantly, promptly, and as long as you live under their roof and depend on them for food and clothing and shelter and care, they have the God-given rights to call the shots. And every parent said? Yeah. Write this down in your notes. Obedience is not oppression, it's formation. Obedience is not oppression, it's formation. When a child learns to follow a loving parent, they're developing the single most important capacity they will ever need, and that's the ability to submit to something greater than themselves. A child who's never learned to submit to a parent will find it very hard to submit to an employer, to a spouse, to God. You see, the scaffolding of a life well lived is built in those early years of joyful compliance. And yes, sometimes obedience is hard. Children resist. They negotiate. They push back. And that's normal. But parents who hold the line with loving consistency are giving their children something no school can teach. The knowledge that the world has structure, and that structure is safe. So what is formed in our childhood? Don't miss this. It's the capacity to follow. And if you ever want to be a leader, you have to learn this capacity first. In order for you to lead somebody, you have to know how to follow. Learn it early, friends. So let's go to young adulthood. That stage where honor builds the capacity to receive. Deuteronomy 26:11 says, "Be grateful for the good things the Lord has given you and your family." The transition to young adulthood brings a painful clarity. Let's admit it. You begin to see your parents as they actually are. Superman collapses into an ordinary man. The invincible mother turns out to be a person with wounds and limitations of her own. And this is the moment when honor becomes genuinely costly. So as young adults, God's calling you to two things: acceptance and appreciation. Acceptance, receiving what you were given. Acceptance doesn't mean pretending your parents were perfect. It does not mean ignoring real pain or excusing real failure. Acceptance means choosing to receive the family God has placed you in. Seeing your parents as human beings God used to bring you into the world, rather than spending the rest of your life resenting the fact that you didn't have different parents. How many times, I want to ask you to put up your hand, how many times were you growing up that you wanted to have the parents that your best friend, their parents, you wanted their parents, you didn't want your parents? There were times where I wanted anybody but my parents. That was just part of my life. It means listening without dismissing. You can disagree with your parents' advice and still give them the honor of genuinely hearing it. Proverbs 23:22, when your mother is old, show her your appreciation. Proverbs 23:22 says, do not despise your mother, tuning them out, rolling your eyes, never returning calls or texts. These are all forms of despising. It also means forgiving. This is the hardest part. Families hurt each other. It's unavoidable. Proverbs 20:20 said, if you curse your parents, your life will end like a lamp that goes out in the dark. It gives us the alternative in stark terms. Bitterness extinguishes your own life. The person you're bitter against doesn't feel the heat. You do. Forgiveness is not excusing the wrong. It is refusing to let the wrong keep controlling your life or my life. If you're still angry with a parent years later, you are still allowing them to define you. The courageous path is to stop blaming and start healing, and that may mean a difficult conversation with them, and if they've passed or are unable to engage, it may mean that you need to walk through the pain with a trusted friend or a counselor. But for your own sake, and for the sake of your children who are watching you, the cycle of pain needs to stop. And then the second thing is appreciation, seeing what they actually gave you. Here's something to consider. Statistics Canada estimates the cost of raising a child in Canada from birth to 17 at roughly, listen to this, $293,000. For a middle-income family, And that figure excludes post-secondary education. That's before you count the sleepless nights, the anxiety, the time, the emotional bandwidth, the years the parents spend worrying about you. In fact, it works out to $17,200 a week, or pardon me, a year. Think about that for a moment. Every new pair of shoes you wore as a child, every school trip, every doctor's appointment, every meal. Your parents could have done other things with that money, that time, and that energy, and they chose you. There's at least two things every young adult should appreciate about their parents, regardless of how the relationship went. One, appreciate their effort. Parenting is the most exhausting, time-consuming, and underappreciated job that exists. The Vanya Institute of Families Count 2024 research confirms that Canadian parents, especially mothers, continue to carry disproportionate mental and emotional loads in the home, often invisible and without recognition. Okay? Have you ever just stopped to thank your parents for putting up with you? Today would be a good day to start. Who else would have put up with you? You're pretty quiet this morning. Second thing you need to appreciate is their sacrifice. When a couple chooses to have children, they choose to do without something else. And they're investing in you at the cost of themselves. And gratitude is the right response. Henry Ward Beecher said this, "We never know the love of a parent till we become parent ourselves." I'm coaching a CEO right now, and they've just had their very first child. And I checked in with them this week, and I said, "How are you doing?" And they said, "Our life is crazy. We totally get now why parents are so stressed." What's being formed in young adult is the capacity to receive. Now let's get to adulthood. Honoring builds the capacity to love long-term. For many of us, this is the season we're in right now. Our parents are aging. Their world is getting smaller, and the fifth commandment has never felt more personal than it does right now. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act." Giving you a few statistics today because I want you to see how the impact is on Canada. National Institute of Aging 2024, 43% of Canadians aged 50 and older are at risk of social isolation. And up to 59% have experienced significant loneliness. Approximately 1.1 million older Canadians are facing loneliness right now. This was the one that blew me away. One in four Canadians age 65 and over lives alone. The loneliness epidemic among Canadian seniors is not a government problem, it's a family problem. And God has a very specific word for adult children. Do not withhold good things from those who deserve it. Do not abandon them. I always remember my parents, whenever I would call them, we weren't living close to home, they would always say to this, that it came up in every conversation, "When are you coming to visit?" And we were always busy. Now that I'm a grandparent, I talk to my children, "When are you going to come to visit?" Guess what they tell me? They're too busy. What did I model for them? What your aging parents need most from you is affirmation, the confirmation that their life mattered, that their investment in you was worth it. Their professional worlds have often shrunk, their friends are dying, their influence is fading, and into that quiet distinguishment, you have the power to speak life. Affirmation looks like this: staying in touch, sharing your life with them, asking for their counsel, even if you don't follow it, and saying out loud what they gave you. Friends, the flowers you send to their funeral do nothing for the person that's in the casket. send them now while it still means something. And Proverbs 3:27 says, if it is in your power to act, act. And then there is a matter of care. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 is one of the strongest statements Paul ever wrote on family responsibilities in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. Anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially his own family, has no right to say he is a Christian. Such a person is worse than a heathen. He calls neglecting aging parents not merely a family failure, but a faith failure. If you don't care for your own family, you have no business calling yourself a Christian. That's what Paul says. As time passes, the role reverse. The parents who once fed you, bathed you, worried about you, may one day need you to do those things for them. And that is the cycle of the family, and it's honorable when it runs as God intends. 1 Timothy 5:4 says they should put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repairing their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Jesus modeled this for us from the most extreme circumstances imaginable. Hanging on the cross in agony, dying for the sins of the world, one of the last things he did was he looked down at the Apostle John and said these words, take care of my mother. If the Son of God arranged for his mother's care in the act of saving humanity, this commandment carries weight we cannot afford to underestimate. T.R. Walker said, to care for those who once cared for us is one of the highest honors. And so what's being formed in our adult life? The capacity to love long term. So in light of this, what does a godly mother give us? Today's Mother Day. This draws our attention to something very specific. What a godly mother actually gives that no one else can give. Let me give it to you very clearly. First of all, she gave you life. One of the things I know is everybody here has a mother. This is the foundation of everything. Your mother gave you one thing nobody else in the world would give you, your life. Regardless of the parenting that followed, excellent, mediocre, or even painful, there is a debt that precedes all others. She carried you. She bore the risk and the pain. And she gave you the only life you have. So let me repeat again, Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother. And in most cases, she gave far more than biological life. She gave early mornings, late nights. She gave up sleep, ambition, money, time, and large pieces of herself to make sure you were clothed and fed and present in this world. Billy Graham said it this way, the influence of a mother upon the lives of her children cannot be measured. They know and absorb her example and attitudes when it comes to questions of honesty, temperance, kindness, and industry. You're in the room today because a woman gave you life. And that alone is honoring, is worthy of honoring. Listen to Billy Graham. Only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the modeling of the character in her children. Not only did she give you life, she gave you faith. This verse stops me every time I read it. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul is saying to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Paul's writing to Timothy, one of the most significant leaders in the early church, a pastor, an apostle, a trusted companion. And when Paul traces the source of Timothy's faith, He doesn't point to a seminary or a great preacher or a theological education. He points to two women, a grandmother named Lois and a mother named Eunice. The faith that would go on to shape congregations across the ancient world was planted by a mother at a kitchen table. That's not a footnote in the story of the early church. That is the story of the early church. If you're a person of faith today, there's a good chance a woman had something to do with it. Maybe it was your mother, maybe it was your grandmother, maybe it was an aunt or a Sunday school teacher. But research on faith transmission consistently finds that the single most influential factor in whether a child retains faith into adulthood is the spiritual faithfulness of their mother. Charles Spurgeon, arguably the most well-known preacher England ever produced, said this: "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who sparked one of the greatest revival movements in history, traced everything back to one source: "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." And D.L. Moody, who shook the spiritual foundations of both Britain and North America, put it even more pointedly: "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon your child, on her children, is lifelong. Perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayer will be answered." Mothers, you may never see the full fruit of the seeds that you are planting, but they're going somewhere. Lois never lived to see the churches that Timothy would plant. She just stayed faithful in her own home with her own grandchild, and the world was changed. D.L. Moody said, "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you're dead and gone, your prayer will be answered." Now, a word to parents. Talked a lot about kids. Here's what I want to share with you. Be worthy of being honored. Paul turns the command around right after telling children to honor their parents. He looks parents right in the eye and says, "Don't make it harder than it has to be." Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, "And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with loving discipline." Parents, don't be impossible to please. Don't try to produce a carbon copy of yourself. Don't scold and nag and criticize until your children associate home with dread. Bring them up with loving discipline. Those two words together, not one without the other. Loving discipline. Every child must learn two fundamental truths: disobedience has consequences, and obedience brings freedom. These are not threats. They're the grammar of a well-ordered life, and they must be taught with love, not fear, with consistency, not rage, with presence, not merely enforcement. For mothers in particular, you are carrying something enormous. And the data shows this. The research confirms it. And most of you feel it in your bones. The weight of holding a family together is real. And much of it falls invisibly upon mothers. You see, Ephesians 6:4 is not a burden. It's God's acknowledgement that the way you parent shapes what your children become. That's not a guilt trip. It's a dignity statement. And as a Christian parent, your highest goal is not that your children are successful or that they're educated or even morally respectable. Your highest goal is that they come to know Jesus Christ personally. That is worth more prayer, more intention, and more modeling than any other investment that you make. You do not teach values to your children. We've said this before. You model them. They catch what they live, not what they hear. And the most powerful sermon your children will ever hear is watching you treat your own aging parents. My last quote this morning is from Billy Graham. The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or material things, but rather a legacy of character and faith. Amen. We began today by saying the fifth commandment is countercultural, and that maybe is still true. But it's also deeply human. Every person in this room has a mother, and for some of you today is a day of uncomplicated gratitude. For others, it's one of the hardest days in the calendar because the relationship was broken, because she's gone, or because the distance between you feels uncrossable. To you, God says, the honor he asks for is not the same as the relationship being easy. Honor the position, and you trust him with the rest. And if you are a mother today, tired, stretched, underappreciated, wondering if any of this is landing, hear this. Lois never saw the churches Timothy planted. Eunice never saw the letters that would shape Christian theology for 2,000 years. They just stayed faithful in the home that God gave them, with the children that God gave them. And that was enough. It is enough. He sees. He keeps records. And the investment that you are making in your children's soul and grandchildren's soul is going somewhere you cannot see yet. So let me get a little practical. What does honoring your parent look like this week? If your parent is alive, call them. Don't text them. Call them. Tell them one specific thing that they gave you that you are faithful for or grateful for. Maybe it's your life. Maybe it's your faith. And if your parents are aging and needs care, take the next step towards providing that. Don't wait until there's a crisis. If there's unresolved pain between you and a parent, name it today. Find a trusted person to walk with you through it. The cycle of pain needs to end with you. And if your parent has passed, honor them by living well, by carrying the good they gave you forward and leaving the rest in God's hand. The commandment comes with a promise, a long life in the land God has given you. And friends, that promise is still good. So here's our memory verse for this week. Proverbs 23:22, when your mother is old, show her appreciation. Next week, special long weekend message, the story behind the Ten Commandments. And kids, I'm going to teach you how to remember the Ten Commandments in 2 or 3 minutes, that you'll never forget them. Plus more, we're going to do something different. It's going to be a great Sunday. So if you're in town, please come, and we'll have our great time together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for mothers. We want to honor them, not just today, but every day. Thank you for the life they gave us. And for the many of us today, thank you for the faith they gave us. Equip each of us, regardless of the stages of our life that we're in, to honor our parents. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.